I'm Brian Baldinger, otherwise known as Baldy, and this is Game Picks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Game Picks, the NFL preview podcast where I go head-to-head with my friends from around the NFL. We're going to see who can cut it when it comes to deciding the winners and losers every week. I'm, of course, your host, Neil Reynolds. Last week, my score was 11-4. Richard Graves went 11-4 as well. So for the season, I am 130-60-1. My guests are 124-66-1. So six games in it as I welcome in an old friend and a returner to the Game Picks podcast, Brian Baldinger. How are you?
Well, good morning, Neil. Morning over here in New Jersey, but I'm terrific, man. I mean, in a COVID world, we're actually having an NFL season. Been playing games, so it's been tremendous for me.
Yeah, Brian Baldinger, of course, longtime offensive lineman in the NFL, now of NFL Network, and a part of our Sky Sports family, which is always exciting, Baldy.
Yes, sir. I mean, I feel like I'm part of the family, Neil. So, you know, we got a schedule coming up here for the postseason that starts that second week in January, and I'm going to be there with my own telestrator, Neil, diagramming Baldy's breakdowns for the whole world to watch, listen, and learn from.
Fantastic. Now, Baldy, in that time, as you know, you provide the color, you provide the analysis, I provide the information as the host. So it's my job to tell you and to tell our listeners that when Baldy came on Game Picks in game week three, I went 11-5 and you went 9-7. I don't want to tell people that, but I feel like I have to.
But is there any fudging going on here, Neil? Are these facts like real facts, or is this just, you know, to promote your podcast and your presence, Neil? I mean, is there any verification of this? Because I don't remember week three.
No, well, that says something about you needed to block using your hands, not just your head. Otherwise, you would remember. I think this is legitimate, but I'm just going to say it's also my podcast. So if I make you pick first on a game I'm not sure about, if I bend rules slightly, you know, it's all part of the home field advantage for me.
Yeah, I would do the same thing, Neil. I mean, I do everything I can to promote myself and make myself look better. So if you're doing that, Neil, I'm all for it because I do the same thing.
All right, let's get on with these picks then.
Let's go.
Okay, let's go into our game picks then. It's a full slate of games this week. The Saints are on a 9-game winning streak. The Chiefs have won 7 in a row. The Bears have lost 6 in a row. The Jets have lost 12 in a row. Let's get to our big six first. Starting with the New England Patriots at the Los Angeles Rams, a Super Bowl rematch from a couple of years back, Baldy.
It is, Neil. And if you remember, the Rams didn't score a touchdown in that game. And Sean McVay was put a lot on himself. And if you watch the way the Patriots are playing right now, I mean, they are locking teams up in their man coverage. They did it last week to the Chargers. They did it the week before the Arizona Cardinals. And I think they're playing really good football defensively right now. And although they struggle offensively, I like the way this Patriots team is coming together. They're getting hot at the right time. And although they got to travel across the country to play this game in the City of Angels, I really like the way the Patriots playing defense. And that it's Stephon Gilmore, it's J.C. Jackson, it's Jonathan Jones, it's Jason McCourty. I mean, every one of these guys plays good man coverage. And if you really make things difficult for Jared Goff to throw, I don't see him making one great throw after another against this defense in order to move the ball and score points.
I have my reservations about Jared Goff, and I thought he bounced back nicely last week after the criticism from Sean McVay. But I saw what that Patriots defense did to him in the Super Bowl. But I also look at the Patriots, who can't throw for more than 69 yards from Cam Newton last week. I'm going to go for the Rams because they're at home, but I don't feel good about it. Who are you picking?
I'm going to take the Patriots. I know that offense is anemic. Of the Patriots, Neil, I see the same things you're seeing. But I think as long as Cam Newton doesn't turn the ball over, plays field position, they kick field goals. I mean, a lot like they did in the Super Bowl. They got one drive in that Super Bowl, one. They got a big play to Gronk down to the goal line, and then they plunge it in. It may be a very similar type game.
All right, let's move on to the next one in our big six, Kansas City at Miami. So we're going to see Patrick Mahomes and Tua Tagovailoa, but it's not really the battle, is it? It's Mahomes and that offense against Brian Flores' defense, isn't it?
I think so, too. And I really love Brian Flores' defense. First of all, they got two really – they spent a lot of money, invested heavily in their two starting cornerbacks, Xavien Howard and Byron Jones. Xavien Howard tied for the league lead in interceptions. They can lock you up. And so, you know, I mean, I don't know if you can lock Tyreek Hill up or Travis Kelce up for very long, but I think they can keep the score, you know, they can help to keep the score down. And when I watch the Chiefs play, Neil, they look awfully bored for much of any game that they play because they know that really whatever record they get in the regular season, all that matters is how they play in the postseason. And sometimes I think like they just play just well enough to win the game and to get on to the next week. But I don't see them just putting their foot on the accelerator, except for that one Tampa Bay game where they were just dynamite right away. But they look like, you know, that right fielder in a T-ball game that's just out there picking weeds, waiting for some action. But I do agree, Neil, it's very much what the Dolphin defense does against Kansas City. But I don't believe there's any defense known to man that can contain Patrick Mahomes when he wants to really light it up. And so I think regardless of how well they play on that side of the ball, I like the Chiefs in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to take Kansas City as well. Mahomes is 0-2 against defenses that have been coached by Brian Flores, but I don't think that's going to make an issue or a difference here. I just wanted to ask you one question because this is kind of sneaking into media narratives, and it's a question that's been raised. Would the Miami offense be better going with Ryan Fitzpatrick because he might know the offense more? What do you think to that, Baldy?
You know, I have waffled, he'll be honest with you, on that same question. I saw him 2 weeks ago against the Jets, and you know, I saw Ryan Fitzpatrick 2 weeks ago against the Jets before Tua took over. And I thought Ryan Fitzpatrick played really well that day, and I thought they should stay with Fitzpatrick. Then I watched Tua last week, and he played really well. And, you know, he got the ball to his tight end. He got a Gesicki. He got the ball to this rookie wide receiver that they picked up from the Raiders, Lynn Bowden. And, I mean, he just, you know, he's got good movement, and he throws the ball the right way. He didn't throw any bad passes in the game. And after that game last week, I thought, you know, this is the right choice. They started five rookies in the game on offense, Neil, which, you know, any other year, like, that would be a disaster. But three rookie offensive linemen played well. Lynn Bowden played well, and Tua played well. So I'm like, go full speed ahead with Tua and let the chips fall wherever they may.
All right, let's move on. Arizona at New York Giants. So but for that Hail Mary pass to DeAndre Hopkins, the Cardinals would be looking at a five-game losing streak. They've already lost three in a row and four of their last five. They now head to New York to take on a Giants team that nobody's laughing about anymore, Baldy. Who'd you like in this one?
Oh, I love the Giants in this game. The Giants have won four in a row, Neil. But really, since week four against the Rams, even when they were losing games, they were turning it around. They were playing much better football. They play a lot of rookies. They got a very good rookie class. They play three rookies on the offensive line. They got rookies throughout their defense. They bottled up Russell Wilson last week like nobody's business. And they've got all of the chess pieces. They've got all of the schemes. They got all the players you need to do the same thing to Kyler Murray. And, you know, if you look at what the Patriots did 2 weeks ago to Kyler Murray, what the Rams did to him last weekend, the Giants are just as capable of doing all those things, if not better than both those teams, to Kyler Murray. So I love the way the Giants are playing football right now. I think they're going to be tough in the postseason. It is a great coaching job by, I call him Father Joe Judge. He's doing a great job, Neil. And I love the Giants this week to win their fifth straight game.
Yeah, I'm going to go Giants as well. I think with Arizona now as well, Kyler Murray's almost in that situation Russell Wilson was in earlier in the season where he's got to score 30 every time he steps on the field. And I don't know if he can do that in New York. So both going Giants there. Minnesota at Tampa Bay. Vikings are back in the playoff spots. Baldy, I was just thinking about the Bucs. They had a couple of three-game winning streaks earlier in the season, but they've not really found the consistency. And I wonder now, we're going into week 14, if they can still keep using the "we're not quite on the same page yet" argument. Is that still fair from a Bucs point of view, or should we be expecting consistency now?
No, I think, you know, this is the stretch run here, Neil. I mean, we're in December right now. These next 4 weeks really determine who makes the playoffs and playoff positioning. It's vastly important to have figured out what you do well and what you don't do well. And to the Bucs, I've been saying it for weeks, Neil. Tom Brady just looks like a bad fit in this offense. Like, he's not a deep ball thrower. He doesn't throw to his running backs like he did in New England. He doesn't throw shallow over the middle and just chip away at you and move the ball, you know, almost making you drip to a slow death week in and week out like he did for 20 years. That's not the offense. But I think it's what the offense should be, because that's what he's good at. And so he 2 weeks ago, Neil, he was the worst rated deep ball thrower in the league, completing the fewest amount for the fewest yards. Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't have the updated figures on it, but that's not where you want to be in that offense. So, and then defensively, they're a zone defense, but, you know, they don't seem to adjust very well when teams are picking them apart defensively. They've got a lot of great talent. But that being said, although Minnesota has bounced back and they're playing much better and Dalvin Cook has been a handful, I like the Bucs in this game. I think that it is dysfunctional as it looks at times. There's still just too much talent there. And Minnesota's playing a lot of young players. A lot of them are getting a lot better by getting a lot of experience. But I do like Tampa in this game against Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tampa Bay as well. When you look at Minnesota, they needed a late Joey Sly field goal miss to beat Carolina. They needed a field goal in overtime to beat Jacksonville. So there's some concern for the Vikings. Just going back to the Brady and Bruce Arians fit, Baldy. I don't know if I told you this before when we were chatting. I was in Tampa last summer and was talking to Bruce Arians about scripted plays to start a game. And I asked him, how many of those will be picked by your quarterback? He said, oh, all of them. But that doesn't feel like that's the case this year. They don't feel like they're the right match. They don't feel like Tom Brady would have sat down with Bruce Arians and said, yes, I like all 30 of these plays to start a game. It just doesn't feel like what he told me.
Yeah, I agree with you, Neil. And that's an interesting comment from Bruce, because I know Bruce a long time and he's a straight shooter. He doesn't, you know, I mean, that you could tell just by how he criticizes his quarterback after some, you know, after some Sunday performances. But I've always gotten the feeling that Bruce shoots you straight. If he doesn't like his field goal kicker, he's going to tell you how much he dislikes him. And if he says that the quarterback gets to pick the plays, it's hard to believe that Tom Brady would pick those plays to start games right now.
Same. That's what I've felt. It's just felt like a bit of a disconnect, because I do think he's a very straight shooter. So it doesn't seem like everything's right in Tampa. Let's go Indianapolis at Las Vegas. Two teams looking at that wild card race, or yeah, certainly for the Colts looking to win the division, but they wouldn't have a bye as things stand right now. I guess the Raiders, we're all going to get excited about the Henry Ruggs touchdown, but we shouldn't forget that they almost lost back-to-back games to the Falcons and Jets.
No, you shouldn't. And the fact that the Jets ran for over 200 yards against them, wow, you know, with two running backs that nobody knew were on the that weren't on the roster, you know, 6 weeks ago. I mean, Ty Johnson runs for over 100 yards, and Josh Adams, you know, contributes. And, I mean, they ran the ball right down their throats. They're not a good defense, Neil. You know, I think that Philip Rivers is very familiar with this defense and their scheme, having played in that division for, you know, against them a number of times. You know, I think the Colts defensively, you know, obviously they had a bad game against Tennessee without DeForest Buckner and, you know, Bobby Okereke and some players. But I think defensively, you know, I mean, the Raiders want to run the football and the Colts want to, you know, take the run away from you. And so if the Raiders don't run it really well, they struggle. I mean, I like the Colts to go into Allegiant Stadium and win this game Sunday.
Yeah, I like Indianapolis as well. The Raiders might not have Josh Jacobs again at running back. How important is DeForest Buckner? Because I saw a quote from Frank Reich heading into the Tennessee game saying he's the cornerstone of the whole defense. Do you feel like he has become that that kind of pillar of the defense. I mean, you get Darius Leonard, Anthony Walker making all the tackles, but is Buckner the main man?
Yeah, he is. He's their three technique in that defense. They gave up the 13th pick in the draft to get him. First of all, he's just an enormous guy, but he's also very athletic. And he can really run, and he's disruptive. And they without him in there, they don't have anybody else that plays that position. So he's a big, big part of it. He's not everything, but it starts up front. They're a run fit gap style defense against the run. They're very good at it with him in there, amongst the league's best, if not the best. And so without him in there, like they were a sieve against Derrick Henry and Tennessee 2 weeks ago. I think with him in there, they're very, very sound in what they do.
All right, last one of our big six. Now, what I've done here, Baldy, is I've kind of deferred to you in every one of these picks and let you pick first, but I'm going to lay down the gauntlet on this one. Pittsburgh at Buffalo. The Bills are winning this one. And I like Josh Allen to get enough points. It's an incredible defense. I think Pittsburgh, if they get one sack this week, will break the tie. They'll have then 70 games in a row, which is an NFL record, with at least one sack. They've had at least two sacks in every game this season. But give me Josh Allen, who's on pace for about 5,000 yards of offense. I thought he had one of his best games of his career on Monday night. I'm going for the Bills.
Well, I hate to agree with you again here, Neil, but I like the Bills. I mean, but, look, what we saw Josh Allen do on Monday night against San Francisco, I mean, he was 32 of 40, Neil, and I went back and watched every throw. There was at least four, if not five, throwaways. Means he missed maybe three or four throws the whole night. He knew exactly where he was going with the ball as soon as he got the ball. And, when quarterbacks can put it right where they want it, I mean, you're just not just in the zone. You're, like, in total control of the game. And San Francisco couldn't do anything to him. And Pittsburgh plays his own defense. They've lost a lot of players now. Not just Bud Dupree, but they lost other players in that game against Washington. I really like this Buffalo team. And, when they picked Josh Allen, people really snickered. And they did all that kind of stuff, what he did at Wyoming and how he looked early on in his career. I mean, they've done nothing but build around him, and all he keeps doing is getting better. And I think that was the best game I've ever seen him play against San Francisco. A highly motivated team that had played really well the week before, good corners that can really cover, and they were helpless against Buffalo's offense. I like the way the Bills are playing. I'm not crazy about what Pittsburgh is doing. They don't even try to run the ball, Neil. When they do, they're not good at it. They're getting stuffed on the goal line. I like Buffalo in this game.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that – I mean, we always talk come January. You got to run and stop the run at least. You can do all your other stuff around that. I don't know if Pittsburgh can run the football and don't even try sometimes. 51 passes a couple of weeks back, and even this game against Washington, there was no running game established.
Well, I mean, Mike Pouncey's not in there. He does make a difference. The center playing, J.C. Hasenhauer, has now started two games in his career. There's a big drop-off there, and that can make a difference. There's no James Conner. That can make a difference. So I'm not, I'm not saying they're at full strength. But, even when those guys were in there, Neil, you just don't see the commitment to a run. And that's why they're not good at it. I mean, they don't commit to it. And I don't believe they are. I think Ben wants to drop back and throw it in 2 seconds. He hasn't been sacked since November 1st, which is a good thing. But, if all you're trying to do is just get the ball out of your hands as fast as possible, eventually teams are just going to keep tackling the catch. And they're going to bat balls down. They're not going to try to rush the way Montez Sweat did late in that game. And Bostic recovered it. Or caught it. So, I don't know. I think they're just an imbalanced team right now.
All right. Let's go into the sort of, we'll hurry through these ones. Little 2 minute hurry up offense here. Tennessee at Jacksonville. Jags have lost 11 in a row. They're still playing tough for Doug Marrone, but I'm going to get Tennessee back on track here, picking them.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think that was an aberration last week. I was there in Tennessee, so I saw it. But I think Tennessee's a much better football team than what we saw last Sunday. And I think they take care of business and, stay on top of the leaderboard in the AFC.
Dallas at Cincinnati. I'll take your November the 1st stat you just dropped there, and I'll give you another one. The Bengals haven't scored more than 17 points since November the 1st. Wake me up when Joe Burrow's back. I'm picking the Cowboys.
I'll take Cincinnati in this. I like the way Cincinnati's competing right now. Yeah. I'm not the least bit impressed by anything I've seen in Dallas throughout the year. Defensively, they're not a good football team. They showed it again against the Ravens on Tuesday night. I'll take Cincinnati in this game.
All right. Houston at Chicago. So the Bears gave up over 450 yards to Detroit last week. So the defense started to slide as well in this six-game losing streak. I'm going to take Deshaun Watson. He's on pace, Baldy, to be the first quarterback to have a rating over 100 and to lose 10 games in a season. And it's not his fault either. I'm going to go Houston on the road.
Yeah, you know, I'll stay with Houston as well. I mean, Chicago right now, you know, I mean, the week before, you know, Green Bay carved them up before they got sliced up, you know, by Detroit. They don't do anything. The defense that led the league in sacks and number one in defense 2 years ago looks like a shell of the former self. And I just think they're just beat down by, you know, just a pathetic offense that they watch every single week right now.
Denver at Carolina. Drew Locke needs to stop looking at the John Elway pictures around the building at Mile High because you are not the same gunslinger, Drew.
Well, I do agree with that. He gets himself in trouble. I love what Matt Rhule's doing. They're coming off a bye week, you know, a late bye week from last week. They've won four games, Neil, but they've been in almost every game except for one all year. And so I just like the way that team competes. I think they play consistent football. Teddy Bridgewater's been really good. I think they finish strong. I think they're really well coached. And I like Carolina in this game against Denver.
All right, I'm going Carolina as well. New York Jets at Seattle. New York Jets and Seattle. I think Seattle need a get-right game. Here come the Jets. I'm going Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Jamal Adams game. You know, I'm sure Jamal Adams is going to be looking at Sam Darnold going, I used to like you, and I still do, but not today. The firing of Greg Williams wasn't unforeseen, but still, I mean, that's a major shakeup in a guy that, I think the Jets are improving. It's just not showing up in the win column, but I think Russell Wilson bounces back against a team that doesn't rush the quarterback very well. They've got a bunch of young guys like Lamar Jackson out there playing corner. I just can't see them slowing DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett down.
All right. A couple here that are tricky to pick. Washington at San Francisco. So I guess Washington fall into that kind of need it more category. But San Francisco can be dangerous on their day. So I'm going to let you pick first.
I think Washington, I think they are a legitimate top five defense in the league. And before it all ends, a month from now, they might be in the top three. They are extremely talented, especially on the defensive line. But they are really well coached right now. And Alex Smith is going out to San Francisco, where, of course, he was the first pick in the draft. They gave up on him a long time ago. I think that, you know, he's highly motivated. He did not turn the ball over at all against Pittsburgh. Logan Thomas, the tight end, is beginning to flourish, emerge. Terry McLaurin is as gifted as any receiver in this league. I love the way the Washington football team is playing right now, and they're healthy. I really like the Washington football team in this game.
All right, I'm going to go one last San Francisco hurrah. I'm going for the 49ers. Atlanta at the Los Angeles Chargers, again, is a tough one to pick because Atlanta are quite dangerous and quite feisty at home. The Chargers are coming off the worst performance last week. I mean, special teams meltdowns left and right. Couldn't get Justin Herbert going. I'm going to go Atlanta here on the road.
Yeah. Look, Atlanta was really disappointing last week against New Orleans. I thought they'd play a lot better than that. Defensively, they just do some things that just make you scratch your head. Third and 17, they gave up an 18-yard completion. They just gave it to the Saints last week. The Chargers are a mess right now. That performance, I think it was the worst performance in the history of the Charger organization to lose by 45 points. But I'll take Atlanta. I think they'll still play hard for Raheem Morris. They're just very inconsistent right now.
All right, the New Orleans Saints at the Philadelphia Eagles. So we talked on Inside the Huddle TV show on Sky Sports last week, Baldy, about the pressure building on Carson Wentz. Jalen Hurts gets the start. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I think the move is I think there's precedent for the move. I was in favor of it weeks ago, but it was a big organization move to sit Carson Wentz down. He was not playing well, Neil, and he was far from the only issue on that football team, but he was a big issue. And so I'm anxious to see Jalen perform, but he's going up against a really good Saints defense that has been playing well for 2 months now. And so they're not going to show any mercy to Jalen Hurts. And you can only simplify things so much for any player, but the more you simplify it, the stronger New Orleans is going to be. I really love the way Taysom Hill played last week. I love the Saints in this game by a big number.
Yeah, I'm going Saints as well. What do you think happens with Carson Wentz moving forward? Obviously, he's under contract for a few more years, signed a big extension in 2019. I guess part of that depends on how well Hurts does in the last 4 weeks, doesn't it?
It does, you know, and we'll see if he plays for 4 weeks. You know, I mean, is this a one-game thing or is this the rest of the season? You know, Carson has to really look at himself in the mirror and go, what do I need to really work on? I don't think he has good pocket presence. I think he panics too much. I think he's been hit too much, and I think he's gun-shy. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I know that he's a phenomenal athlete and a great competitor, but that doesn't make you a winning quarterback in this league, that alone. There's a lot more that has to go into it. I think he has to look, if they don't get out of this tailspin, Neil, I believe there's going to be wholesale changes in Philadelphia. I don't think they have a choice. I don't think this is a patchwork, you know, group right now. And I'm not foreseeing a trade or releasing Carson. I don't believe that's the answer. But, you know, somebody has to get through to him and really build him from the ground floor up and rebuild him right now. Because I don't think that the way that he's performing right now, that very many teams, including the Eagles, would be interested.
All right, last two. Green Bay at Detroit. So the Packers are averaging 31.6 points per game. I'm going for them to keep the wins coming in Detroit. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I know Detroit is capable of playing good offense like they did last week, but this offense of Green Bay's is really, in the second year with Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, Aaron looks happy. He's having fun. They've got an answer to anything you do defensively. And so I think Green Bay continues to just ride a great offense and play enough defense, you know, to keep winning games.
All right. And last one, Baltimore at Cleveland. I think Baltimore had a nice get-right game against Dallas. They looked more like what we saw last year, the running, the read option, the Lamar Jackson running, the play action passes. They created a turnover on defense, but it was against Dallas. They did have a big win against Cleveland earlier in the year. I think this is a chance for Baltimore to remind us that they are still competitive, hard-nosed team that knows how to win. I'm going Baltimore to win in Cleveland.
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw these two teams play week one in Baltimore, and it was a blowout win by Baltimore. But I you know, last week, when Cleveland went to Tennessee, and it wasn't Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, it was Baker Mayfield that played great in that game. Maybe one of the best games he's played. And I think that was a big eye-opener for a lot of fans. I love Cleveland's offensive line. I think they match up really well against Baltimore's defense. And I think Cleveland is, and I know Baltimore played well last night. They look like themselves, but that was against Dallas, who's they're just terrible on defense. I like Cleveland this game. I think this is going to be a real eye-opener in the AFC North, not just for this week, but maybe for years to come.
All right, so we are done. We've got four different, so we could have a winner. We could have the dreaded sister kisser if the things go certain ways. I've gone the Rams. You've gone New England. The other difference is I've gone Dallas. You've gone Cincinnati. I've gone San Francisco. You've gone Washington. And I've gone Baltimore, and you've gone Cleveland. Good luck, Baldy.
Yes, Gary to write this down, in pen. All right, Neil, and so that we can go back and review this the next time we do this exercise.
I do not like what you are insinuating.
My bad.
All right, Baldy, let's just finish up quickly on game picks. It's good to chat with you again. It's always good to chat with you. Let's talk a couple of big picture things just to finish. Who's leading the race for you in terms of the MVP? And I know this is not an essential thing when it comes to wins and losses, but it is something we talk about in the media. Russell Wilson's fallen away a bit. Is it a two-horse race now, Rodgers and Mahomes?
Yep, it's a two-horse race right now between those two teams. And I think Mahomes is out front. But there's still a month to play here. It looks like Patrick Mahomes to me, but Aaron Rodgers is right, you know, I mean, he's right on his tail. And I think there's a huge separation between anybody else in this league right now.
And coach of the year for you, who's leading the way in that one?
Well, I think there's three really good choices to me right now. I think that Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, Joe Judge in New York, and Ron Rivera right now with the Washington football team. I think all three of those are candidates. Whoever wins the East, I'd give them the nod. And we'll see what Stefanski and Cleveland does against Baltimore this weekend. But and it's not to take anything away from Mike Tomlin or Brian Flores or Mike, or Andy Reid, teams that are playing really, really well. But I think those three right now, and to turn it around, and you can see a clear turnaround in a COVID world with no offseason and all that kind of stuff that everybody said it was going to be tough for a first-year coach. I mean, I think those three are at the top of the leaderboard for me.
All right, good stuff. Now, before we go, make sure you head over to our social channels. We're at the NR Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, where you can track our picks and scores throughout the season. Also, send us your game picks using the hashtag game picks. You can see how you get on against us. If you listen to game picks on the Neil Reynolds podcast feed as well, please head over to the main game picks feed and subscribe there wherever you get your podcasts. That will really help us as we build our audience. Baldy, this has been great. Thank you for joining. Good luck. And Merry Christmas. And I can't wait for January when you're over.
Neil, happiest of holidays to you. Enjoy the season. Can't wait to jump across the pond and start breaking down some playoff games. I think this weekend's games that we just talked about is going to go a long way to kind of deciding some of the matchups that we'll be talking about in January.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, so there's Brian Baldinger. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on Game Picks, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now. That's it for this week's episode of Game Picks. Thank you very much for listening. Episodes will be dropping every Thursday throughout the 2020 NFL season, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All that's left now is to say thanks to our special guest, and may the best NFL fan win. Game Picks is presented by myself, Neil Reynolds. Gary Hayes is our producer, while Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. Game Picks is a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. We'll see you next Thursday for more Game Picks.